Welcome to RSN's Race Day.
Ready? Gates crash back in racing.
For the first hour, it's the first word. Here's Gareth Hall.
Yes, this is RSN's Race Day morning on this Saturday, the 9th of October. Good morning to you listening on your local RSN 927 dial throughout Victoria. And hello to you wherever you may be listening on the RSN 927 app, our sister channels right across the country, and of course on our brand new website at rsn.net.au. Well, the Caulfield Guineas has produced memorable battles.
Piero has to fight. All Too Hard's grabbed him, and All Too Hard has won it.
Testarossa clear, though. Redoute's Choice is coming again. Testarossa has to find. Redoute's Ditch. He lunges and wins.
This year, the market suggests we might just get another two-horse war, with Animo and Artorias, the only three-year-olds under double figures. Punters believe it's on Thunderstruck's chance to strike in a Group 1 as he dominates the Turac handicap market. And the Caulfield Stakes, well, it has a new name.
Might and Power, a mile in front of the 200-metre mark, five lengths in front. They haven't got a hope of catching Might and Power. Jimmy Cassidy has exploded away with the Caulfield Cup. He's eight in front. Doremus from a mile back, but Might and Power win six or seven lengths.
Might and Power produced one of the great performances the Heath has ever seen to win that Caulfield Cup. And it is fitting that the Carnival's Wait for Eights Group 1 over the 2,000 metres is now named in his honour. Australia's new Wait for Age superstar Saki will be looking to join Might and Power, and the other greats of the sport like Kingston Town, Northerly So You Think and the Mighty Winx to win the Caulfield Stakes Cox Plate Double. And to prove this is a strange world that we are living in these days, none of those champions, but for Winx and a three-horse field, started as short as $1.25 in a Caulfield Stakes, and the tab made sure those champions, including Winx, won the Cox Plate before paying out. The tab paid out on the early Saki punters 2 weeks ago. Hello, I'm Gareth Hall, and welcome to RSN's coverage of Caulfield Guineas Day.
RSN's Race Day, and the first word with Gareth Hall.
Yes, it is one of the great days of racing on the Australian racing calendar. It's basically, for me anyway, it's the start of the spring carnival. Caulfield Guineas Day, the first day of the carnival for the MRC. Of course, 1,000 Guineas Day on the Wednesday, then the Caulfield Cup next Saturday. The highlight today is the Caulfield Guineas, of course, the Might and Power Stakes and also the Turac. But it's a terrific support program. In the last race, the Herbert Power Stakes, only three horses so far have qualified for the Caulfield Cup. So the rest need to win to get into that great race next week. Hamilton Cup Day in Country Victoria as well. Spring Championship Stakes Day up there in Sydney at Randwick. We've got a terrific card at Ascot. Racing returns there in the west. We'll also preview Morfordville and the meeting in Brisbane. It's Victoria Cup night in the Trots, one of their biggest nights. Of course, Victoria Derby there as well, and also the Oaks. And a terrific meeting in at the Greyhounds there at Bendigo as well, with some of the best dogs in the land to do battle in the heats of the Bendigo Cup. At 7.07, we have the first word to kick off proceedings, the Melbourne Form Panel after that, the Sydney Preview, plus Form Express for the other metro cards around the country in at the Gallops as well. So looking forward to this morning, but let's head out to Caulfield to catch up with Jason Kerr for this all-important track update. Good morning to you, Jason.
Morning, Gareth.
Another carnival rolls on, mate. What are we expecting today on the opening day?
Yeah, the dawn has presented us with a beautiful day. It's a clear day here in Melbourne, a little bit of wind around, but I think we're all set for a pretty good day weather-wise, possibly a bit of late rain, so late this afternoon into the evening. So I think we'll be clear of that. But the track presents good four this morning, pretty much in ideal condition. Going stick is 8.8, which sort of puts in that region what we've been the last couple of meetings. Probably improved a bit during the day, and rail goes back to the true position.
We've had beautiful weather, especially in the latter part of the week. Did you have to water?
We wasn't going to, but we sort of had a little bit of yesterday morning and put 4 mils on yesterday afternoon just to sort of keep that moisture in the top part of the track. Obviously, it's heated up a little bit the last sort of week. We had 21 yesterday and it's going to be 24 today, so just to ensure that the track's got plenty of moisture. It's a long day. After quarter to six, so that 4 mils yesterday is all we've put on for the week, and that'll ensure that there's nice giving the track throughout the day.
And the rail's in the true this afternoon. How does the rail go for the rest of the week as well?
Yep, come back into the true. So it's August 28th on Menzies Day was when we last in the true. It's been a terrific month or so since then, recovery-wise. Obviously, the weather's kicked in and the track's sort of 100% on that inside strip, and it's pretty even right across. Obviously, there's some wear right out wide. We've had some gallops, but yeah, certainly that won't come into play today. And the plan is on Wednesday, we'll push it out to 9 metres for 1,000 guineas, and then we'll come back to true for Caulfield Cup next Saturday. The weather looks reasonable, I think, early next week. So, all going to plan. That'll be the way we'll run.
What about the wind conditions?
Yeah, it's a little bit of wind there today. It's windy here at the moment from the north. They're saying the north wind will get up to about 30 k's an hour today. So, that presents as a headwind down the side as they come off the top of the hill and swing into that Queens Avenue side. The direct northerly will be into their face down that side. So, that can come into play if it's strong enough. Obviously, jocks tend to look for a bit of cover coming down that side if the wind's really howling down there. So we'll just keep an eye on that today and monitor it. But yeah, that's probably the likely factor that might affect things today.
Well, good luck today and for the rest of the week, Jason. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Gary.
There's Jason Kerr with that track update there at Caulfield. Let's head up to Sydney to catch up with Nevesra and Dami to get an update there at Randwick this afternoon. Of course, it's another Group 1 meeting there in Sydney. Good morning to you, Nevesh.
Morning, Gareth.
What are we expecting this afternoon there?
All right, so a good day. Fine conditions forecast, a maximum of 26. The track's currently a good 4, penetrometer 5.04, and the rail's out 5 metres from the 1600 to the winning post and 4 metres the remainder.
Will you stay at that good 4 range, do you believe, throughout the afternoon?
Look, I think there's a chance of an upgrade. There's a forecast in some breeze to pick up, getting up to about 30 k's an hour coming in from the northeast. So, look, it's there's every chance that we could get to a 3 later this afternoon. So, yeah, look, we'll just wait and see how the track improves. But that northeasterly is probably going to be a little bit of a crosswind in the straight. So we'll see how that impacts the pattern of racing through the day.
Okay, and it's been another really good week there in Sydney, weather-wise anyway.
Yeah, no, it has been. We had some rain last weekend. 7.8 mils, and then we've applied 15 mils of irrigation through the week. And, yeah, look, I think we set up really nice. Obviously, we've had a fair bit of racing at Randwick over the last few months, so a little bit of wear around the track. But generally, the track has recovered really well, and there's a good pad of grass, so I expect the track to race really well today.
Good luck, Nevesh. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Nevesh Ramdani there with an update at Randwick. Let's catch up with our trainers. We'll head straight to Caulfield. Michael Kent Jr. is ready to go. Good morning to you, Michael.
Morning, Gareth. How are you doing?
Good, thank you, mate. Did your horses work on the track this morning? Was it your turn?
Yeah, it was our turn.
Yep.
We had Profiteer sitting off Extreme Warrior, and they worked up very nicely.
Okay, so the track looks like it's in perfect order as well?
Yeah, good order. Giant McNeil, Pat Maloney rode, and yeah, they thought it would get upgraded to a 3 at some stage, maybe early-ish.
Okay.
But yeah, it's in lovely order. It walks beautifully.
And how's Profiteer?
Yeah, very, very good. He worked a bit stronger than Extreme Warrior, and yeah, Jai's delighted with him.
Let's have a look at your 2-year-olds in the debutante stakes. Always exciting to see 2-year-olds have their first start. Immortality, first of all, this colt by him, Invincible. What can you tell us about this colt?
Nice colt. He's a little bit on off the bridle, but he flew the lids in and jumped out. He was 2 in front very quickly, so I think from a good barrier draw, he'll put himself into a winning position. Whether he's good enough and professional enough today, we'll see, but he's a nice colt.
Commodity looks like he's a speedy colt as well. He goes around in the first for your stable.
Yeah, he's by Capitalist, but unlike Profiteer, he's been very laid back. And we don't normally apply blinkers, but yeah, they've really switched him on. He wore them in a jump out last Tuesday on the course proper, and he was very good. Probably a bit more professional than Immortality, and I think he can slide forward from the outside draw, which is not a bad thing. Dog leg, he won't be held up, hopefully, and just full of momentum. And he's good. He's a sound, tough 2-year-old, and he's got a nice action, so I think he'll run well.
It's been a great start to the season for your stable with your 2-year-olds, and you were right on the money there last week. Can you split your babies in the debutante stakes?
Yeah, so not sure either of those are as forward as Getting the Spirit. Look, we wouldn't be surprised if either of them won, although I think it's a bit tougher task against Brereton and Magic Carpet. We would think Commodity's more professional, and we'd probably lean that way slightly, but both are going into the race very well.
You're confident with Lombardo this afternoon? He looks like he's just become the complete package now.
Yeah, we are. He's just in the zone, that horse. And to our eye here at Caulfield, he hasn't gone backwards. If anything, he's tightened up a bit more. He's a big lump of a lad. He's, you know, 580 kilograms, and he's muscled up now. Looks a nice race for him where he can control the tempo, and we think it'd be hard to beat.
Can he win a better race than this?
I think he can. Yeah. That's the reason Jai's on it. You know, we think Alana's a very good rider, and we would have kept her on, but Mick is thinking that if he was to win here, he may throw him in the Manicado, and therefore give Jai a feel of him today. And, yeah, no, he's going very well, the horse.
How was on Thunderstruck this morning?
He's on his toe. He's very fresh. He's, as a Mr. Beat, he's in perfect condition. His gallop on Tuesday was super, and... yeah, it's all systems go. So just hopefully he's good enough. I know he ran very well in the River Clark, but today's a different race, and it won't be easy for him. But he's going super.
At the start of the preparation, if I asked you, Michael, would you have said that the River Clark was a better race for him or the Toorak?
Probably the Toorak. It's funny, we sort of joined his second prep and his third prep together. He's gone from racing in winter against three-year-olds. We freshened him up, aiming to go to Testarossa first up, and he went to a jump out here, and he sat behind Odium, Profiteer and Star Legend were up front, and Jack Hill sort of pressed the button. He made up six lengths very quickly up the hill, and Mick Fry turned to me and said, I think he might throw him in the Rupert Clark, and had a rating of 80. We snuck into the field, and so this has sort of never been the plan, but he just improved so quickly, and I think a big part of that's been him learning to switch off and race properly, and... we saw that day when Jamie Card rode him at Flemington. When he did switch off, he can really let down properly. So that's been a big thing for him. He's always had talent, but he's really learning how to do it properly now.
Where do you think he will settle in the run?
We'd love to see mid-div with some room. He's got a huge action. So I think there's only 12 runners now. So just hopefully he can stay off the fence, out of trouble, and be able to improve into the race when he wants to.
Expectations with Consummate Mechanic in the Toorak?
Getting hard for her to win. She probably appreciates her toe in the ground a little bit. But she's a horse that really improves as she gets deeper into her prep. She ran very well, came from back at Mooney Valley last start. So she's close to her top. She's drawn well also. Handicap suits her. This is a place chance realistically. And those are keen to run. You know, she's already a Group 2 winner. She's Group 1 placed. So the more goes you have in a Group 1, the more likely you are to try and win one. And she'll bounce from this race into the Empire Row. She's going well, but appreciate the hard race for her today.
Another exciting day for your stable, Michael. Should we be having a bet on any of your horses?
I think Lombardo's the most likely winning chance. I think it looks a lovely race for him. And yeah, fingers, toes, everything crossed that Thunder gets even luck, and hopefully he can win as well.
Appreciate your time as always. Good luck.
Thank you.
There's Michael Kent Jr. Mike Moroney joins us now. Good morning to you, Mike.
Yeah, morning, Gareth.
How's Buffalo River this morning?
Buffalo River's very well. Yeah. We kept them a little bit fresh. Had a nice piece of work Tuesday. That's the only guy he's had, but he seems nice and bright.
How did you assess his first up effort there at Caulfield in the Group 1 Rupert Clark?
I thought it was a really good run. Probably, in hindsight, he might have been a bit all dropping and trailing. And when you've got two front runners in one race, well, it just makes it for the back markers a bit, and I thought he stuck on very well.
But this looks a better race for him on paper anyway.
It looks as if he's going to be able to take his time to lead. Yeah. It doesn't look as if there's a lot of speed on, otherwise we would take a sit, but it looks as if he is the leader in the race, so it does look a nice race for him.
Yeah, and if he does get to the front, I think, like everybody nearly expects today, you're confident he'd be mighty hard to beat at his best.
Yeah, he will be. Yeah, certainly. He's one of those horses, if you do, you can just get the right sectionals at the right time. I'm not saying that he runs it that slowly. He hasn't got a lot of change-up speed, but he keeps going at that good gallop. And it's just a matter of getting it right. And I'm sure Ollie's been on, he knows it well, so that'll be a big help.
Can your brilliant mare Tefane carry 58 to win a Toorak?
Look, a lot of people say, no, she can't, and it'll be a weight-carrying record, I think. And the mares have got a great record in the race. But all I'll say is I should have won it one year with Purno. I think she went around 57, and she was a good thing beaten. We protested against the winner that time, I think, from memory. So I'm not sure it can't be done. She's drawn to get the right trip, and it's just hard to get a line. It's a totally different form, her form line, from where she's come from to the other ones. So, make for a very interesting race.
She's had one go at the mile, and she wasn't disgraced behind Incentivise. Are you sold that she gets a strong mile?
I know Craig is. Craig came back, and the first thing he said to me was that she gets a mile. But she said that Incentivise just kicked again. And look, we only ran a length off him, so it's not a disgrace by any means. So I think she does get a mile. I'd be surprised if she doesn't. You know, she certainly had a chance of pulling the head off that day without much speed on it at Flemington here on a pretty open track. It was hard to do, which she did, facing the breeze the whole way and stuck on very good. So you know, I think that sort of pointed to the fact that she does get a mile.
Can we expect some improvement in ACTOW, in the Herbert Power?
We're starting to clutch the straws with a little wee bit. I've gone to taking the ears off him now. He is relaxing a long way better, so that's the last thing we can do. Because John Allen thought that when the race went on in earnest at Mornington that he just felt the ears might have just been holding them back. So we're taking those off. But they've been there to try and get him to relax early. So let's hope that he does. But yeah, he's starting to get very frustrated, all right, because we really can't find anything wrong with him. And we'd like to think there's a reason for him not racing as well, but we can't really find one. You know, like sometimes with those old tendon injuries, they don't want to really let go. Maybe that's it, but we certainly can't fault his work and the way he looks, etc.
Good on you, Mike. Thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you.
There we go. There's Mike Maroney joining us there. Nick Ryan, also at Flemington, is ready to go. Good morning to you, Nick.
Morning, Gareth.
Regards Marie, how have you assessed his preparation this time in?
Yeah, look, it's been a little bit frustrating. I think the horse is going really well. He's just, at times, been his own worst enemy. And the run in the Rupert Clark the other day was a complete forget run. He sort of got poleaxed from the home turn. So we've freshened him up. We've taken the blinkers off today, blinkers on, and just want to see him get back to his old self, see if he can relax and hit the line.
What do you think his best trip is? You had a crack at the 1,400 metres back to the 6 furlongs, or is that just a case today going back in trip just to get some confidence back into him?
Yeah, certainly that's the case. He is a horse who's got a very good turn of foot. When he gets things right, when he relaxes, he can really let down. So it certainly wouldn't shock today, but I think his best trip is around the 1,400 when he can relax off a good speed and finish off.
Can he win today?
As I said, it certainly wouldn't shock. If they're running, run along and he relaxes out the back and lets down, he's certainly got the ability.
Are you happy with Barrier 1 for Dice Roll and the Turak?
Oh, look, he's sort of umming and ahhing there. I think it's good and bad. At some stage, he's going to need a bit of luck in running, but that's horse racing, I suppose.
How is he?
Yeah, he's really well. He's trained on well from the Rupert Clark. He's galloped on the course proper here at Flemington Tuesday to set a maintenance gallop, and very happy with him.
1,600 looks his ideal trip as well.
Yes, yes and no. I think he's a good fresh 1,400 metre horse, but he's second up today, fresh legs at the mile, and he's going to get a soft run, so I wouldn't think of any issue.
All right, mate. Good luck today.
Cheers, Gareth.
There's Nick Ryan there at 7:23. This is the first word with Gareth Hall here on RSN 927. It's Caulfield Guineas Day. What a day it is. Don't forget the Melbourne Form Panel just after 8 o'clock with Dean Lester, Warren Huntley, David Gately, and also Nicholas Quinn. Then we've got a big Sydney preview, of course, with David Gately and Lizzie Jelfs. Race day mornings after 10 o'clock with Michael Falgate, Dan Malecki, Matty Stewart, John Henry. I think we'll be taking you through the afternoon here on RSN 927. Along with Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney. And don't forget, the spring ticket is back. All you need to do is download the RSN 927 app. And you can listen to the team there led by Michael Felgate, Dean Lester, Dwayne Dunn, Matthew Stewart will be there, James Winks as well. Nicholas Quinn will drop in on our Carnival channel for the spring ticket. And the boys will take you through a big afternoon there at Caulfield. Also, they'll cover the Hamilton Cup meeting, also that Group 1 meeting up there in Sydney. At 7:24, we'll take a quick break. And we'll come back hopefully with Kira Ma, Annabelle Neesham and JD Hayes.
Where a day at the races begins. RSN 927's Race Day Morning.
Hopefully enjoying your Saturday morning. It's a beautiful day here in Melbourne at Caulfield today. Jason Kerr's reported that the track's in wonderful condition. Good for at the moment. Maybe a small chance of an upgrade. The rail's in the true. Michael Kent Jr. also reported a couple of his gallopers, including Profiteer, worked on the course proper this morning, and the jockeys reported back to him, which included Jai McNeil, that there is a chance, maybe early in the meeting, that we do get an upgrade to a good three there on Caulfield Guineas Day. Let's hear what Graham Beek has to say about his filly's chances. Of course, Dosh and the Scalacci, which is race number 5 on the program.
Yeah, look, she's in very good shape. Look, you're right, she did blow out a bit the last sort of 200. But look, she's given us every indication she's in very good form, and we felt that this was a nice opportunity with no weight on her back. Coming in with 51 kilos gives her a great opportunity to be able to, be there and give herself a good account of herself.
And we'll stay with Graham Beek, and we'll ask him about the chances of non-conformance, who, of course, takes on Saki in the Might and Power.
But look, obviously, being a small field, it's going to be a very tactical race. Look, in saying that, there seems to be a couple there which will roll forward in the race. Homesman at no effort. So hopefully it does get a bit tactical and they want to put it on a little bit earlier and don't make a sprint, so, and he can get his chance to go through his fears.
I think one of the highlights of the season so far here in Victoria has been the rise of the Hayes boys, JD Hayes and Benny Hayes. And JD Hayes joins us now on the first word. Good morning to you, JD.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're having some run at the moment.
No, I appreciate it. The horses seem to be all putting up their runs, so it definitely makes it easier, the training business, and they're starting to put their head in front of first of the winning post.
Yeah, what can you tell us about Dubai Oak, this colt by Pride of Dubai, representing Lindsay Park in the debutante stakes?
He showed us quite a bit at home. He looks like a nice early runner, and he just got it wrong down the straight at Flemington, which he wouldn't be the first horse in history to do. And in his second jump out, we just put the winkers on and he did everything correctly and was quite impressive. So he's earned his shot at the races. He's done everything right. And from barrier 2, hopefully he's able to get a nice run. And I think he's good each way odds.
All right then. So that's Dubai Oak in the first race with Daniel Stackhouse aboard. Sosie Bond, he's been a beauty. He goes around in the weekend. Hustler, can he win?
I think so. I think so. There is a little bit more improvement in him as we're targeting the Moonee Valley Robus race on Friday night. It's a lot of money there, so that's when the blinkers go on. But I think he's definitely going to get a nice run in transit, and he's definitely improved from his first up run. So I'm having a little bit of my pocket money on him.
Okay.
And but look for the improvement third up.
And a good four track?
Yeah, I don't think that'll worry him at all.
All right, so see Bon, inside gate, should he be box seating as well?
Yes, yep. I think we'll be using... He seems to fly the lids and he'll give himself the run of the race.
Geez, it'd be a great story if Harry Coffey can combine with the Hayes brothers to win a Group 1 in the track with Asar. How is he?
Well, unfortunately, we pulled him out of his box this morning and he's just strained a muscle over his hind quarter, so we've had to pull him out on best advice, unfortunately.
Right. That's disappointing.
Would have been a great story, but we're going to have to wait for another day.
Will he be okay, or is it just a wait and see there, JD?
He will be okay.
Yep.
Just unfortunately, on the morning of the grand final, we couldn't produce him at 100%. So we thought we'd take the conservative option and wait for another day.
Rostrovich goes around in race number 10. He's come back better this time in.
He is, and he's really free in his action. He's taken nice improvement out of the Moonee Valley race, and I think he's going to really appreciate the extra 400 metres. I think you'd be pretty brave to leave him out of your first fours and trifectas. I think he'll run a bold race.
Are we having a punt today, JD? It sounds like you are, mate.
Yeah, I am quite ambitious. I am half dad, so
yeah.
It's always half full. So you got to live like that.
So Dubai Oak each way and something on Sosie Bond. Is that the way?
I think so.
All right, mate. Good luck, JD. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
We'll head to New Zealand now and catch up with Jamie Richards. Good morning to you, Jamie.
Hey, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. Karma Lass, she has to be an each-way chance in the second today in the weekend hustler at Caulfield.
For sure. Just got caught very wide first up, carried the big weight, and Julie came to the end of her run. So I think she's improved since. Obviously needed to, but down in weight, I think it's a big help. And we're just going to have to ride her a bit conservative from a bad gate again, but hopefully she can finish off 1,400 should suit.
All right then, so that's a good push there for Karma Lass in the second. Probability she takes on Saki, you've probably been asked this question a million times this week. Your expectations with her?
Expecting her to run well, as she always does. I think it's, you know, he looks to be a very good horse. So I don't know if he's got many chinks in his armour in terms of sort of seems to get up on the speed and he can quicken off a good pace and everything like that. So we'll be following him everywhere he goes, and if there's any chinks in his armour, we'll be trying to expose.
Up there in Sydney, Sword of State, we know that he's very exciting. He had a interrupted preparation when he arrived here in Australia, but how's he trained on since that first up effort?
Yeah, he's come on well. 2 week turnaround suited him. He just got caught very deep there the other day, 3 deep without any cover, carried a big weight under a set weight penalty. He's back to set weight now, drawn a nice gate, and he just seems to be a colt that needs a run. So I think you've given him a bit of cheek today. Should be a good place chance.
Okay, where do you think you'll be in the run?
Hopefully right up on the speed. If not leading or outside, then right in behind them.
Yeah, and Amaralina looks tough to beat as well in race number 6.
Yes, she's going well. Just had no luck at all first up to Bill Ritchie. We've purposely missed the Epsom in favour of this race, just trying to get a bit of confidence back for us. So, unfortunately, she's got top weight, not too much of a spread, and she's got the outside barrier. So we're going to need a little bit of luck there, but we've got the right jockey on, so hopefully he can work his magic.
We are missing you in Australia this spring. Yeah, what's your best today, Jamie?
Hard to win a race there today, but I'd be disappointed if two or three of them couldn't run in the top three. So I guess probably on where they're placed, Emeralina looks the best.
Okay, have you got anything at home for us?
We've got one at Hara in the Fillies and Mares Weight for Age race. She'll run well, but the track's probably a little bit beyond her, but we're chasing some black print, and we pulled everything out of Matamata here on heavy ground. So bit of a frustrating spring over here, but hopefully we're not too far away from it starting to clean up a bit.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for that. Good luck today.
See you, mate.
There's
Bye.
Jamie Richards there. Annabelle Neesham's been good enough to join us here on The First Word on this Saturday morning. Thanks for your time, Annabelle. We appreciate it.
No problem. Morning, guys.
Wisdom of Water, first of all, gets to Caulfield. Were you happy with his effort there at Caulfield the other day?
Not really. No. He did disappoint. It's probably the only bad run he's put in for us as well. I was sort of scratching my head, but I probably made the mistake. He's a bit of a tricky customer, and I brought him back home after his run at the Valley, which I thought was a great run, and maybe I had him a bit flat, 2 weeks between runs with a trip back to Sydney in between. So he stayed down there, and he actually had a week out at Fulham Park, and hopefully he's just a little bit fresher, and yeah, we put the winkers on, and hopefully, you know, I think Linda will suit him as well, and yeah, hopefully we can see a sharp improvement.
How's Saki's week been?
Yeah, good. Faultless to date. He went and had a look around Caulfield on Tuesday, and the board's been happy with him since. I think he's really coming in the coat, and he's starting to look like he's heading towards his peak fitness.
How do you expect this race to pan out today?
I'm not really. Well, I say I'm not sure. I spoke to Craig. I've spoken to Craig, and I think it would just concentrate on our horse and not worry too much about getting into a sort of tactics sort of battle. But look, he's probably going to be up on the speed. I'm basically just I've put it in Craig. It's in Craig's hands now. The only instruction I had really was to try and ride him like the best horse in the race and hopefully keep out of trouble.
Yep, can't wait to see what he can do once again today, Annabelle. What about up there in Sydney? Actar was impressive to win last start. Can he do it again in the midway?
Yeah, he really surprised me that day, to tell you the truth. He hasn't shown a whole lot at home, and he's a bit disappointing at Newcastle, but we probably rode him upside down that day, so we changed the way we rode him, and it was a big performance, and, you know, I think the time on the clock was okay as well. So I'm not overly confident in that. You know, I don't know if that was just a one out of the box the other day, but I think if he can repeat that, you know, the form, the horse that ran second to him then won by nearly three lengths on Wednesday. So certainly the form's been franked, and I thought his work had improved a lot on Tuesday. So maybe he just needed that win to get a bit of confidence, and it's definitely a nice each way bet.
An equation goes around in the Silver Eagles, just a forgive run there the other day, first up.
Yeah, I think he did nothing wrong. I think the market had him wrong that day. You know, it was a really strong race, and 1100 is probably short of his best. So it probably looked disappointing because he was so short in the market. But I actually wasn't disappointed with him on a day where it was hard to make up ground. He actually got a bit caught for toe early and was probably further back than everybody expected. But he ran home well and back to the 1300, and he's actually drawn a gate. I think, you know, again, it's a pretty open race. I think there's five or six that could win this, but if he puts his best foot forward, then, you know, he'll be right in the mix. And, you know, the aim for us today is to hopefully run top three and get him into the Golden Eagle, because he's, you know, certainly one of the better four-year-olds in the stable.
And I think it's important to note too, Annabelle, this was Tommy's ride all along, wasn't it? And James was just warming the seat for Tommy. So James didn't actually jump off.
No, he didn't. No. You're right. Tommy obviously had that holiday, and he's done all the winning and won, what, four or five races on the horse. So hopefully that's the key as well. Or not that James certainly didn't do anything wrong the other day, but yeah, it's obviously a positive to have a jockey that knows the horse partnering with them again. And I really fancy his chances today.
Good luck, Annabelle, especially with Saki, and we appreciate your time here on the First Word.
Thank you.
There's Annabelle Nish. The stable of Adrian Bottengay Waterhouse going great guns at the moment. Adrian joins us here on the First Word. Good morning to you, Adrian. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Gareth. Thanks for having us on the show.
Shohonka goes around in the Thoroughbred Club Stakes over the 1,200 metres. What can you tell us about this filly?
She was very sharp here, resuming first up. She sort of went into that race with sort of only the one trial, so sort of left a bit of improvement there. And, I was really impressed with how mature she was this campaign and how well she'd come back. Just showed so much sort of natural speed on that day, sustained speed, the times were very good, and it was, a soft win in the end. So, I know we're sort of stepping up to stakes class today, but she's sort of proven that, she's sort of capable in stakes class as a younger horse. And, yeah, just dealing with a different horse sort of physically and mentally this time around, she's just really... really switched on. Seems to have settled into Melbourne really good. Expecting a nice forward performance from her today.
Do you think she can show that pace once again at the
start? Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah. She's originally we thought we may sort of look to stretch her out and trip, but after what we sort of were seeing from her early in this campaign and her trials, and then the way she won the other day, we thought, you know, she's just got too much natural speed. We'll just keep her at the sprint trips for now. But she may stretch out eventually, but yeah, I think we just want to utilise their speed for now.
Melbourne wave going?
Yeah, don't think that'll be an issue. They sort of do plenty of sort of work that way while they're in Sydney in the early part of their preparation. She's been down in Melbourne now for a little bit of time, so she's had plenty of time to settle in and have a few serious gallops that way going, and all seems to be in order from all reports.
Could be a really big spring for Vangelix. She represents your stable in the Silver Eagle. I think she's already got her ticket for the Invitational. Can she win today? She's been well supported.
Yeah, look, she's an honest filly. She's consistent. She's taken on the boys, which she hasn't done for a while. But obviously, she's sort of bringing plenty of class to the field. The fillies have stacked up well in that race previously. The only slight concern would be stepping back from the 14 to the 1300 metres, but tried to keep her nice and sharp. She's got a nice soft draw, so should be able to get it, have her in the run where we want her to be. And with that, I expect it to be very, very competitive for us once again.
And Never Be Kiss going around in the Spring Champion Stakes over the 2000 metres, which is the Group 1 of the day. He's done nothing wrong as well.
Yeah, she's been excellent. I thought it was a strongly run mile there in the flight stakes, and she seemed to really, really relish that. So, I'm expecting off the back of that she can run out a strong 2,000 metres today. Certainly take a bit of confidence in, you know, the recent sort of form and sort of pattern of, you know, fillies coming out of the flight stakes and their success in this particular race. So seems to have sort of worked well before, and you know, I think she can sort of follow that path and run a bold race for us today.
Has this always been the plan with her?
No, not necessarily. No, it hasn't been. To be fair, but the way she sort of came out of that race, and as I said, sort of the strength of the win and how well she's done all week. Well, we certainly didn't hesitate to, you know, to look at this option and back her up when you analyse things and take everything into play. Well, you know, I think she really deserves to be there.
And what will she do after this if she performs well?
Look, it's most likely that she'll spell. She's still okay in her first campaign. So, look, we've kept the options open in Melbourne if we do want to head down on, you know, say an Oaks sort of path. Yep. But we'll see what today brings.
So outside of those two horses in those feature races, are you confident with any of the other runners throughout the day?
Look, the only other runner we've got in Sydney that we haven't spoke of is probably Perfect Radiance. I thought she goes around at some good value. She a little bit disappointed in the Wild Cup there last start, but a fair bit of pressure there. So she's dropping back in grade, had a trial in between, and I thought she bounced back well. So might be one worth watching earlier in the day.
It's been one hell of a spring. Let's hope that can continue. Adrian, good luck.
I certainly hope it does. Thanks, Gareth.
There's Adrian Bott there. Let's hear what David Brown, of course, the co-trainer of Elephant, has to say about his star galloper's chances in the Group 1 Toorak.
It's a tidy field. Followers going to come up. I think a few of the light ones, lightweight, probably will give you give us a bit of a shake up. But I think it's still a winnable weight what he's got on as well. So I think he's probably working as well as he has done the whole time, and he's probably looking the best he has done the whole time. So we're pretty happy with him anyway.
So we've got Asar out of the track. JD Hayes just reporting that he was taken out after pulling up a little sore this morning, and Harbour Views is also a scratching. So that's a story out of the Toorak. The favourite, of course, is On Thunderstruck. He's now at $2.80. Michael Kent Jr. gave him a positive report earlier on in the morning. Rohirrim goes around in the Scalacci. Let's hear from Rohirrim's trainer, James Cummings.
And Rohirrim, he was just a bit big first up, the way the race was run at a solid tempo. In the Theo Marks. He tried hard but then was held up. I would be just forgetting of his last there. He was only beaten three lengths, and he could be at weight for age here if the race is run to suit. He could be a competitive chance.
And in the Caulfield Guineas, Animo is now the clear favourite at $2.70. Artorias is out to $4. Let's hear from James talking about the favourite's chances in the Guineas.
It is not as detrimental a barrier has been faced before with the Blue Diamond and the Golden Slipper, for instance. So I think Caulfield Guineas is his target. So, you know, the wide barrier. It's not like we're scratching from the race and going somewhere else. He's going to run. He's just got a task ahead of him.
At 7:44, you're with Gareth Hall here on The First Word on Caulfield Guineas Day. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back and catch up with Jason Warren, Dan Bowman, Troy Corstens and Patrick Payne.
The First Word, thanks to the TAC. Before a big day out, think of this first. Drinking. Driving. They're better apart.
Great to be with you on this Saturday morning. Let's catch up with one of our favourites here on RSN 927, Troy Corstens. Good morning to you, Troy.
Oh, that's lovely words, Gareth.
Yes, because I tell you what, you've done a good job with the ownership of this filly, New York Baby. Every time I talk about this filly, we're talking about a metropolitan meeting that she's competing in. A few of your owners are texting, including one journalist these days. How is she going, New York Baby?
Yeah, she's super. She's really good, Gareth. So looking forward to today. I know it's a monumental jump in class, but she's really well, and she's come on since her Flemington win, so we think she deserves a spot today.
But there's something about her, isn't there, Troy? She looked like she did it pretty easily there at Flemington.
Yeah, she's always shown that bit of class. We took her down to Warrnambool for her first ever run and expected her to run well, and she sort of went above expectations. And then coming back this time round, she's improved, and I think she's come on again since that run at Flemington as well.
Where does your speed map have her?
It's a really tricky one, isn't it? I think from that's my only issue today, I reckon, is the gate. And the obvious thing is to line up all the form. Like, these fillies are all coming out of different form lines. And it's just about now that you see that they all come together and who's going to hold their hand up. But you'd see her sort of, I can see Damien rolling forward a bit. He'll just, you know, you don't tell Papato how to paint, so we'll leave it to Damien.
Did you have the rest of the program in mind for her, or is it just race by race at the moment?
Yeah, really. Like, I mean, there's no shortage of good fillies races over the next 4 weeks in Melbourne and or Sydney, so everything's open at this stage. I don't even know sort of what distance limit we're going to get to with her, whether we can get her out to a mile or she's just going to be a sprinter. So I think after today, it's going to tell us a hell of a lot more of where we're heading in the future.
Is she worth a ticket?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, she's got that little bit of X factor about her, and we obviously haven't seen the ceiling of her yet, so definitely worth an each-way ticket.
Good on you, Troy. Good luck.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Troy Corston's there. Dan Bowman joins us down on the first word. G'day, Dan.
G'day, Gareth.
I'm excited to see Ocean Beyond. How is he?
Yeah, I am too. Really good. 3 weeks between runs. He had a nice jump out at Coleraine last week, and then a good gallop on Monday morning before the rain come Monday night. So, yeah, we're pretty happy with him.
And he gets a lovely gate to give Harry a few options.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, 3 10 times better than 4 and 1 like we did the other day. Yeah. Just a bit dictated too when he stepped a bit slow after being in there for so long the other day.
And he had a really good preparation without much luck towards the end anyway for his first prep. What's impressed you most about him this time in?
Oh, he's probably strengthened up a little bit and he's just matured a bit. You know, he's a bit more tractable to ride and responding to what Harry asked him to do a bit more. So, you know, he's going to need to do that. Keep going up in grade and racing in races like that.
Can you defeat a horse like Lombardo?
Oh, well, we can't if we stay at home in our box, that's for sure. So we'll go down and have a crack at it, that's for sure.
All right, mate. We wish you the best of luck. Thanks for that, Dan.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Dan Bowman there. Patrick Payne joins us now here on the first word. Good morning to you, Pat. Thanks for your time, mate.
Thanks, Gareth.
Rubisaki in the Northwood Plume Stakes is out. She's not going around today.
Yeah, the track's really healthy, but it's not probably. She's probably more advanced if it's softer. So we'll wait till next week.
Defibrillate, 2,400 meters. Your thoughts there, Pat?
Yeah, he's getting closer. We're sort of still lining up whether he's quite good enough for this level, but there's one way to find out. So as I said, he's in good order and the travel's moving. So we'll have a really good idea where we head after today.
Yep. So from that run, he just needs he should get a nice run from that gate anyway for Billy.
Yeah, he's a lovely, easy horse to ride, so you can have the run the race have been run, and we'll take it from there.
All right, then you've got a couple outside of Caulfield today. Slip Into This goes around in Adelaide.
Looks a nice race. I mean, he ran really well. He had a pretty good horse last time. He stayed over there with Ryan Dolphin, so all reports say he's settling well and he's training really well. So, as I said, it looks a nice, suitable race for him today.
It's a really good card at Hamilton Cup Day. You've got 3 chances. Any winners there, Paddy?
I think they're okay. The race horse in the first, he's an honest horse, he's racing speed, and he'll sort of give you a run for your money. Redback in the second race. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a form reversal.
All right, then. So Bangarang Redback and Pedal Power have something on those two horses in the first couple of races. Good on you, mate. Thanks for that.
Good luck. Thank you.
There's Patrick Payne. It's 8:08 here on the first word. Let's hear what Trent Buston has to say about his guineas chance, Forget You. And Forget You does look tough to beat after a really good performance there at Moonee Valley in the Stud Stakes. And let's hear what Trent has to say.
I didn't want to draw inside 6 or 7. I was sort of thinking if we could be midfield, getting up around them, you know, getting out wide and up around them, and hopefully not hitting that flat spot he does. I'd certainly like to be 3 pairs closer than you'd think he's going to be from that draw, but I think it's very simple. Animo's inside us. Animo's got Damien Oliver on, and he's an even money favourite. So just get on his bum and follow him wherever he goes, and hopefully he can go with him when Animo does. So, I mean, that's one massive plus out of the barrier draw for us, that we can just tag on to him the whole race, and if we're going good enough, he'll get his chance.
Sierra Sue's in career best form. Can she win another Group 1 at Caulfield? She goes around in the Toorak handicap. Here's Trent Busserton once again.
If she can draw a soft gate and sit in behind them, she's still going to get some of the money, whether she's got too much weight or not to win. But, you know, she doesn't know anything. It's not going to hurt her, so she'll go through this race potentially to the Empire Rose in 3 weeks. So it all sort of maps out good as far as programming. And she's going to run very well, and she's going to be somewhere in the finish.
The Group 1, Ned's Caulfield Guineas, over the 1,600 metres. The second favourite's a Tories. He's out to $4 this morning. Let's hear from his co-trainer, Sam Friedman.
He can bounce with them, and then he's a little bit slow into stride for his first couple of strides, and then he generally gets into a decent enough spot. So don't want to take him right out of his comfort zone, but if he can begin there or thereabouts, then he could settle sort of midfield. Midfield or even a touch better would be ideal, particularly, you know, now stepping out to the mile.
In the Herbert Power, Floating Artist has been scratched this afternoon, save for Wednesday. So this does look a really good race now for Delphi. Let's hear from Sam Friedman once again.
Yeah, pretty confident with this horse. He's right in the zone and handling his work terrifically well. This is the plan to be running Saturday and then back him up in the Caulfield Cup. He'll make his own luck up there on the speed. He's now at, you know, nearly peak fitness. You know, his asset is sustaining a strong gallop, so there'll be no hanging around on him.
Just having a look at the market now then. So Delphi's at $2.40 with Floating Artist out of the Herbert Power. And then you've got Defibrillate at $6. Patrick Payne gave him a good positive report there this morning in Turin at $6. But Delphi is now the strong favourite to book his place into that Caulfield Cup next week with Floating Artist coming out of the Herbert Power. Jason Warren now joins us to have a chat about his star man, Brooklyn Hustle. Hello to you, Jason.
Morning, Gareth. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, mate. How is she?
Yeah, she's in really good shape. We've had a really good week and worked well Tuesday and hard to fault, really, going into today.
Yep. She had excuses in that after that Valley run?
Yeah, look, she just had a couple of small excuses and we rectified those. So I think we're back on track, and it was good that they were only small things that we had to rectify. So we've been able to do that. So we should be fine.
Do you think the race will pan out nicely for her?
Yeah, I do. Four scratchings out of the race, small field. I think gives Craig a few options. If he has to go round them, that should be fine. If he wants to ride for luck, we'll just throw him the keys. But favourite will be in front of her in the run from a good gate. So we'll be the stalker, I'd say.
In the firm track?
Firm track's perfect for her. Yeah, she's fine on a firm track. It's probably her preferred surface, if anything. So I think we'll be right to bounce back today.
All right, then, no excuses for Brooklyn Hustle. Do you have a winner for us at Hamilton? You're sending some nice horses around there, including Seb Song. Does he go around?
Oh, if he could have got a run, yeah. He was second emergency, and yep. And he unfortunately hasn't gained a start. So okay. He'll have to go to Caulfield on Wednesday. He's flying at the moment, that horse, so it's disappointing he didn't get a run. But we've got Pride of Kinross going down there, and he'll be hard to beat.
All right, mate. Good luck, Jason. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Gareth. Good one.
There's Jason Warren. So positive reports there for his stable at Caulfield with Brooklyn Hustle and also Pride of Kinross there in the fourth race at Hamilton. Let's hear what Craig Williams has to say. Now, this is interesting. He joined Michael Felgate a couple of days ago talking about September run in the Scalacci.
She's in a right race. She's the best rated horse. It's Caulfield's her only concern, but it's a lot better than Moonee Valley, and I thought she acquitted herself really well around the valley in the Moya last start. So she looks like she's going to be in her right race.
The feature race up there in Sydney is the Group 1 for the three-year-olds over the 2,000 metres, the Spring Championship. The second favourite now is Profondo. Let's hear from his trainer, Richard Litt.
Oh, look, I think he's in it with a massive chance. He's drawn barrier 10. Robbie's just got to sort of have him in a nice position wherever he's comfortable, travelling well, and, the rest will be up to the horse. And we think he's going to present really well, and he'll get a nice track there on on Saturday at Randwick. I think it'll be a nice good four, hopefully, and that's the sort of track that the breed likes. And, you know, we're very excited. Anything could happen.
Good morning to you, Sean Cosgrove.
Good morning, Gareth. Got the scratchings now for the meeting today at Caulfield. It's overcast, the rail true, and a good four, got a total of 16. Now, race one, take out 9, Cavalla, number 9. Second event, pull out 4, Just a Canter, and 8, Viral, 4 and 8. Third clear, the fourth, put a line through 6, A Very Fine Red, 7, Frost Flowers, and number 10, Decent Rain. That's 6, 7 and 10. Races 5 and 6 are clear. The 7th, pull out 5, Rubisaki. Number 7, Paul's Regret. 10, Pim's Party. And 11, Wanaliri. 5, 7, 10, 11. Race 8, scratch 9, Coast Watch. And 13, Dark Rebel. 9 and 13. The 9th, you can take out 7, Harbour Views. And 9, Ace Sarah and a Vet Certificate. 7 and 9. And race 10, pull out 7, Floating Artist. And 8, Fun Fact. Some riders in the first 4, Immortality, Luke Curry. 5, Long Delight is Michael D. Then go to race 5. 5, Bella Nepotina, Jai McNeil. In race 8, 5, Captivant, Luke Curry. And race 10, 2, King of Lear Grants, Jordan Childs. And 5, Delphi is Damien Oliver.
Right on 8 o'clock, the Melbourne Form Panel after the news with Johnny Bowden.